Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders with a certain attorney named Tertullus, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. And after Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the governor, "Since we have through you attained much peace, and since by your providence reforms are being carried out for this nation, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. But that I may not weary you any further, I beg you to grant us by your kindness a brief hearing. For we have found this man a real pest, and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And he even tried to desecrate the temple, and then we arrested him. And we wanted to judge him according to our own law. But Lysias, the commander, came along and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. And by examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him." And the Jews also joined in the attack, asserting that these things were so. And when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul responded, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Since you can take note of the fact that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and neither in the temple nor in the synagogues nor in the city itself did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot. Nor can they prove to you the charges by which they accuse me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in the accordance of the law and that is written in the prophets. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. Now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings, in which they found me occupied in the temple, having been purified without any crowd or uproar. But there were certain Jews from Asia who ought to have been present before you and to make accusation if they should have anything against me. Or else, let these men themselves tell what misdeed they found when I stood before the council, other than for this one statement which I shouted out while standing among them. For the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you today." But Felix, having a more excellent knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will decide your case." And he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." And at the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Amen. I shared this a few days ago, but, you know, in the book of Acts, there's, when Luke's writing, he's not writing an exact history. Right, he's telling a story. He's weaving a story to Theophilus, and so part of this, there's going to be kind of holes here and there, you know, about certain events. You know, we're kind of unclear how certain councils came together, how certain people rose to certain statuses and whatnot. But when we get to this part, you know, that the gospel being rejected in Jerusalem, you know, that we read the last few chapters and moving on, we get incredible detail, you know, of what's going on. And, you know, if I'm going to be honest, you know, as a preacher, it's not that much material here, you know, to really draw from. And so, you know, even for me, like yesterday I knew we were going to get to Acts 24, and I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to speak to your people this morning, you know, but God's always good to do that, right? And so I just want to focus on a couple things here, right? And one is, is this the issue that he's having with Felix, right? If you notice here, Felix, you know, he's explaining the things. And then in verse 22, it says, Felix had a more excellent knowledge of the way. In the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, whenever you hear that phrase, the way, they're talking about the Christians. You know, they're talking about the followers of Jesus. You know, that they were called the people of the way. In fact, it was a secret greeting that they greeted one another with. And because there was so much persecution going on during this time, in order to identify a follower of Christ, you know, they would ask the question, you know, are you on the way? you know, or are you of the way? The connotation there, the word is hodos, right? The connotation there is not simply like, do you belong to Jesus? You know, in other words, it's not just, you know, are you a Christian? But the essence of the question is, are you a follower, right? It's not just that you label yourself as a part of the church, but are you living the life? That's hodos, it's the way. You know, are you, you know, through your life, living out your faith? And so the early church would continually ask themselves, you know, if they suspected that you're a Christian, they didn't know, but they didn't want to advertise it to everyone else, and thus more persecution comes, they would say, hey, are you hodos? Are you of the way? You know, are you living this Christian life? You know, and it's seemingly that Felix, you know, obviously heard about Jesus. You know, he recognized, you know, what happened, you know, through these times and these people. And so he had a knowledge of it. And then so he's intrigued. You know, as, you know, you can imagine if you heard about Jesus, you know, living this time, you'd be very intrigued yourself. Right? You know, this guy with 12 band of people led a huge movement. You know, and if you notice how the Jews respond, you know, how they will classify them, they'll call them a sect. Right? And so, you know, you can see, you know, the wording is quite different, right? These guys are just a sect of the Nazarenes. You know, they're just a kind of like a cult, you know, that comes out. And you gotta know, understand, when you go through Jewish history, right, there are so many cults that arise. Right, there are so many movements, so many people. You know, I think the one what was that one crazy singer? Was it Madonna? Right? You know, she practices Kabbalah. You know, that was an early ancient sect. Right, that was condemned, you know, by the Jews, you know, and so now it's kind of coming back into season now, it seems like. There are so many of these things happening during this time, and so, you know, to them it's a sect, right, to everyone else it was the way. And so you can see kind of the differences and obviously, you know, different meanings and whatnot. And then so he's intrigued, so he brings his wife, who's a Jew, they come and they listen to him frequently. You know, and so, I mean, think about this for a moment, right? He's intrigued about this Jesus. They come to listen to him frequently, and they stop at this point when he talks about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Right? You know, and we will, you know, this will be a very similar battle for many of us, right? Right? The gospel to many people sounds wonderful. Forgiveness of sins, new life. Right, a new beginning, you know, a new creation, you know, God is my friend, and all these things. But friends, that's not the full gospel, right? It's not the full gospel, you know. And a lot of times, you know, for me, I cringe sometimes, you know, when I hear, you know, preachers or I hear leaders, and they talk about gospel centered, you know, but what they mean by gospel centered, you know, in a lot of ways is they only tell the good stuff. Right, but I want to just propose to you that all this stuff is good stuff. We don't need to be afraid of the judgment to come, you know, or self-control or righteousness. All right, I mean, you know, if you think about it, a lot of these preachers they've made, you know, these things become negative because they only talk about the positive, right? It's this gospel-centered. You know, and then you get to a point right now where you have, you know, the largest churches, you know, in the United States, in the world, and they basically, you know, preach humanism, right? They just preach, you just need to be happy, right? They just preach happiness, you know, and then that's all it's about, you know? I mean, I don't want to criticize a church or anything like that, but this is just, it's just news, you know, that's out there, right? So, you know, there's a church near our place called Crystal Cathedral, you know, where I'm from in Southern California. Famous church, right? I mean, I've been to a few weddings there, you know, and major turmoil in the last few years, you know, and the guy, his name is Robert Schuller, and he had his son end up taking over the ministry, you know, and then Schuller in his ministry, he basically was preaching a very happy gospel. You know, I mean, nothing necessarily wrong with that. His son, who was taking over the ministry, basically wanted to preach the full gospel, right? And there was a big fight, and so the guy ended up leaving, You know, and I mean, just, I mean, that's such a microcosm of what I'm talking about here, right? The specific situation. You know, many people are preaching a half gospel, you know, and but they call it gospel centered, you know. And I've talked to some of these leaders. I say, what do you mean by gospel centered? Well, we just only encourage people all the time. So is that really the full gospel? You know, you don't talk about judgment or sin or, you know, a lot of times, you know, people don't talk about sex. You know, they don't talk about money, right? Things that we are, you know, confronted with every single day in our culture. But they don't want to offend people. And in the same way, you know, this is what was so, you know, blessed and so refreshing about Paul, right? Because Paul shared the full gospel. Right, he shared the gamut of it all. Right, he gave everyone a clear picture, you know. And listen, preaching about judgment, right? It's not a bad thing, you know. It's not such a negative thing anyway. I know discipline, judgment, you know, obedience. I know these words in our culture have such a negative connotation, but I want to tell you, there is something so blessed when we obey, you know. And if you think about it, if there's no judgment, right? There's no sense of morality in this world. Right, there's no reason to live a righteous life. You know, even go further, there'll be no justice in this world. Right? What happens to the Hitlers of this world if there's no judgment? You know, what happens to, you know, was that crazy guy that killed, you know, all those people in I forget what country it was, and when the Nordic states went to a Christian camp and just started shooting at people left and right. Right, there's no justice. You know, there must be judgment. It's not a bad thing. You know, and we got to get rid of that kind of that negativism. You know, when we look at these words, listen, friends, obedience is a good thing. It's a very good thing. You know, keeping away from sin, it's a very good thing. Right, our God, right, He's our Father that loves us. Right, He doesn't you know, come and ask us and tell us to do this or not do that for His own benefit. You know, he's not some cosmic killjoy in heaven and just, you know, trying to straitjacket us in this life. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. You know, but he says, you know, there's certain things that, you know, if you don't do this, it'll be so much better for you, right? Because the premise by which our Father operates is out of love. You know, in the same way that, you know, I talk to my kids, right? And I say, you know, Elise, Emma, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. Right, this is going to be very dangerous for you, right? You know, you shouldn't be, you know, taking, you know, we're at, you know, sorry to talk about food, but, you know, we're at Morton's last Sunday night, you know, on our last meal. And, you know, Hannah, you know, she's so quick, man. You know, she's put on my lap and she grabbed a steak knife. Right, I mean, just you're so quick, right? I think she's gonna be a good athlete, you know. But in any case, so she grabbed this steak knife so quickly, you know. And then, you know, what am I gonna say? Okay, go ahead. Have fun with the knife. You know, of course not, right? As a, you know, I don't know if I'm a good father. As a decent father, I take the knife away from her, right? I know a little bit better than she does, right? And know, and obviously, we all know that, you know, one-year-old should not be playing with steak knives, right? You know, and sometimes we operate in the same way. God says, you know, maybe what you're doing with that girl right now before marriage, maybe that's not the best thing for you. Maybe that's not going to really bring blessing into your life, the fullness that, you know, I have for you. As a married couple, maybe, you know, flirting with that girl as a married man or married woman, you know, maybe that's not the best thing for you to do, right? Maybe because I have a more better way for you. You know, I have so much more. Maybe, you know, not engaging in that activity is probably a better thing for you, you know, because He has life for us, you know. And listen, when God gives the church, gives us directives, it's to bless us, right? God can only operate out of love. He cannot operate out of anything else. That's His character, right? He is, you know, in essence, he's kind of bound to that, right? You know, even when we're faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. You know, and so when He asks us these things, and you know, then we just obey. It's the best thing for us. And some of you guys have lived on this earth long enough to recognize that. You know, that you did it your way for a while, and you got nowhere. And then you thought, you know what, let me try to do it God's way. You know, I mean, that's what happened to me, especially in the area of relationships, right? It's like, well, I've been doing it my way all this time. It's definitely not working. You know, maybe I'll choose doing God's way. You know, and things just come into order you know, and happiness, you know, what you really want, you know, is become so much more full in your lives. And but, you know, the simple thing is sometimes, you know, when you get to this part of righteousness, self-control, and judgment, you know, you may get a lot of backlash, right? And you know, maybe because there's not maturity set in there yet, you know, and we got to press through. But I think in a way that we have to make righteousness, self-control, and judgment very attractive as well. That's our job as a church, you know. I'm not, you know, I mean, I don't think you'll ever hear me in the pulpit or personally tell someone they're going to go to hell. What? You're going to hell, man. You know? You don't believe you're going to, you know, that's not the most attractive way to talk about judgment. But there are very attractive ways to talk about judgment, you know, to talk about righteousness and self-control, right? Especially, you know, garnered out of God's love. And this, my friends, is the full gospel that we need to take hold of. The last thing that I want to kind of focus on more in prayer for us is verse 16. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. Right? Notice this was basically the same statement that Paul said a chapter ago that got him slapped, right? That got him beat up a little bit. You know, but it's important, right? It's important for Paul to acknowledge this. It's important for us to acknowledge this, because this is what we're talking about. This is what it means to be of the way, right? A blameless conscience, both before God and before men. That you can, this morning, right, as we enter into a time of prayer, that you can go before the Lord, right, with a blameless conscience. That you can be right with men, right, and right with God. How important is this for the Lord? It's so important that if you're not in that state, the Lord says he does not receive your worship. You know, he says, hey, man, leave your offering, you know, there. Go and make amends, you know. Go and take care of the issue with your brothers and your sisters. And then come back and give your offering before the Lord. You know, I mean, think about it for a moment. We could be, you could be here for another 30, 40 minutes, you know, like most of you are, and praying and, you know, and seeking the Lord, and yet you could have something, you know, a discord with somebody, right? And seemingly your prayers would be almost fruitless, you know, in many ways, right? And so it's important that we have a blameless conscience before God and before men, right? If there are any discord, you know, if there's any kind of antagonism, you know, to the best that you could do your part. You know, sometimes the antagonism that comes our way is beyond us. You know, what I mean by that is, like, you know, you didn't really do anything wrong, right? You just, you know, for whatever reason, someone said something, did something, has something against you. Sometimes this happens, right? You know, but to the best of your ability, right, to try to make reconciliation, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I think as long as we're able to do our part and thus have a good conscience before God and before men, I think we've done enough. You know, some people are stubborn. Some people are wicked, you know, and you know, they won't, you know, come alongside of that reconciliation. You have to recognize that. But you make sure you have a clean conscience before God and before men. You know, so let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Right, let him, you know, bring that conviction in our hearts. If there's any discord, you know, especially with God, you know, there could be very well be many of you that are sitting in this room today, you know, and you could be angry with God about something, you know, you could be, you know, a little ticked at the Lord that XYZ didn't happen in your life, you know, and you need to have a clear conscience before God in whatever matters it may be. Amen. So let's close our eyes today. This morning, the 5th of January, 2012, as you go before Jesus, can you say, like the Apostle Paul, I have a clear conscience before God and man? And if not, just take care of business right now. If there's a little something going on with God, humble yourself and go before him. If there's a little something going on between a brother or sister, not necessarily, I mean, in the church and also outside the church, any discord that causes you not to have a clear conscience, take care of business. Commit yourself in your heart to be a minister of reconciliation. And then go to that person, write the person an email, phone call, and try to make amends. Not just for the sake of it, so that the fullness of the life of Jesus will flow through our lives. As Yvain leads us in a song, let's just seek the Lord on that matter.
Troubles.
Let's continue to go before the Lord and let's speak to Him about having a clear conscience. You know, let the Holy Spirit just begin to bring episodes or events or experiences in your mind that maybe, you know, you've wronged somebody and you don't even know. Maybe you've wronged God. The Spirit will convict you. All right, our job is just to respond to that. And if God is speaking something to you, you know, it's God, when he does that, when the conviction of the Spirit comes, it's always an invitation. When the condemnation of the enemy comes, it's to draw you away from the Lord. But when the conviction of the Spirit comes, and you'll know the difference, right? It's an invitation to draw closer to Jesus. And so let's pray. Let's pray for repentance. If there are certain things that you need to repent to the Lord of, let's pray for strength to bring reconciliation if it's a matter, especially family matters. Sometimes they're very difficult to deal with. But let's ask God for strength that we'd be ministers of reconciliation. Let's just go before the Lord in that way. Let's continue to lift up our community. Pray for Charles's dad. Let's pray for Hyge's uncle, who's got late-stage lung cancer. Let's pray for Chris's aunt, for Alex's dad. Particularly, you know, Alex's dad lost a lot of weight just recently, going through the chemotherapy treatments. And, you know, let's ask the Lord to help him to regain his strength, gain some weight. He actually also had some atrophy in his legs because he was in bed for 2 weeks. And so let's pray that his musculature would come back and that he's, you know, start eating again, more food, and that his third round of chemo would go well. Let's pray for Matthew Doble's aunt. Pray for Janine as she goes through her chemotherapy as well. Pray for my aunt over her pancreatic cancer. Janella's grandma, Kian's mom. Pray for Belinda for full recovery. Alan Lunsford. Continue to pray for Misan's dad, for Katie Chen, for Charles' niece's tumor, for the Wagners, and for Connie's aunt. Also lift up our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for Mark Starnes, Soojin Kim, John Kang, Juhi, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord's blessing for them as well. Let's lift up. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan, pray for the people, especially lift up Kenny Ye in Nagoya. Ask the Lord to continue to move in his life and he had finished well. This is his last year serving in Japan. And so let's pray that he would finish strong. Let's also lift up North Korea, and obviously you're quite aware of all the stuff that's going on there. You know, let's pray for God to move during this regime change. Let's also pray for Chris Kim, you know, our missionary out there. Let's ask God to bless him and to use him, especially in the midst of this time of turmoil. And pray for God to really intervene in this country, that we would see something happen soon over this place. So let's lift up these two countries and people to the Lord. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up our men's and women's ministries. You know, honestly, we've had a bit of a slow year last year and in relation to these ministries. And let's pray that God would really use the leaders and, you know, people in charge to really draw men to one another, draw women to one another, that people would be ministered to. You know, I know that they're planning events and things, vision this year. And so let's pray for a real fruitful season as we enter in. Let's pray for our local outreach as well. Let's pray that the church would not just look inward, but outwardly, and that we would minister to our community as much as we can. And so let's lift up these ministries and these leaders before God. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's ask God's hand to be with our new church plant. They're also meeting in the mornings at 7:30 in the morning. And they actually sent us a really cool picture yesterday of their meeting. They look happy, but they look really cold. And so pray. It's very cold right now in Beijing. You know, people are starting to come, and they're starting house churches this coming Sunday. And so let's just lift them up to the Lord. Lift up Pastor Sam, his family, Annie. Pray for Chris and Amy, and also for Mary. This is our core team. And ask the Lord to continue to use them and just to bring light, even more light, into Beijing. So let's just bless our friends ministering there. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for Constance. Pray for her health and recovery. She's got some problems with her nerves, and let's ask the Lord to heal her in Jesus' name. Let's pray for GA. Let's pray for her vision, for her family, for her friend's father's salvation, or trip back to Boston. You can read all the prayer requests there. Let's ask the Lord to just continue to be with her and use her powerfully in the States. And let's pray for Kiwan and Christina and Abigail, for the Chung family. Pray for God's hand to be with them, especially over the baby. And let's just lift them up before God. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that everything you do, God, is an expression of your love. God, your will, God, is always best, God. It's always right. And so help us, God, to just obey, Lord, and align ourselves to you and your purposes, God, and your ways. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would continue to help us, God, as we pray. Lord, even this morning, God, help us to pray beyond our abilities, God. Lord, give us the unction, God, to step into something, Lord, that's beyond us, God. Lord, we don't want to just keep praying, keep saying the same things that we always do, God. We want you, God, to touch us, Lord, and we want to pray in the Spirit, God. Lord, as we hear from heaven, Lord, and release that here on earth. And so help us, Lord. God, help us to be agents of change and reconciliation, God. Wherever we go, we bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.